Welcome back to Endpoint TV. Ron Jacobs, once again, joined by Leon Wieliki. In fact, Leon, you're like a regular guest here. You could be like a co-host or something.
I'm not sure that I will do it as good as you do it.
Hey, you know, you're great at the at explaining the intricacies of workflow and activities. In fact, I recall when we first met, you were the program manager for Flowchart.
Yes.
And so true. Now you're doing a lot more stuff, but Flowchart was one of the things that you worked on. And so in this episode, we're going to kind of look at Flowchart. And, yep. You know, maybe it's obvious. Maybe, like, everybody gets flowcharts, and, you know, but this is a new thing in Workflow 4. So a lot of people are new to Workflow 4. Maybe they've seen everything as sequences and stuff. So let's talk about Flowchart.
Great, absolutely. So Flowchart is a new control flow activity that we added in Workflow 4.
Mm-hmm.
And the motto for Flowchart, like if we have to summarize it in one word phrase, it would be power and simplicity.
Ah, okay.
We try to have something that is as powerful as a state machine, for example, but as simple as a sequence.
Okay.
And the idea of the flowchart is that it is good for modeling processes that are sequential in nature,
mm-hmm.
with a single path of execution that require to loop back to a prior step in the process under certain circumstances.
Ah, okay, which is something that's tough to do with a sequence.
Right, with a sequence, mm-hmm. if you want to do a loop back, you have to model it in your own, on your own. Mm-hmm. You have to do it all manually.
Right.
For example, you need to have a variable.
Yeah.
You need to have like a looping construct, a looping activity.
Right.
And some way of controlling the value of that variable to see if whether you are in the loop or not.
Yeah, yeah. It becomes a lot more complicated.
Yeah, and when you have only one loop, it's okay. When you start having many loops, it starts to get very complicated, very cumbersome, and not easy to visualize, right?
Right, right.
With Flowchart, that's easier. It's just drawing a line back to the step where you want to go. It's
good.
Just a gesture, you know?
Yeah.
Just draw a line. Like we can see in this picture here.
Yeah.
And one interesting thing, now that you mentioned the sequence, is that Flowchart is not a replacement for sequence nor state machine.
Yeah.
I'm telling this because I mentioned both activities.
Right, right.
It's just another activity, another control flow option that we ship.
Yeah, in fact, one of the big changes in Workflow 4, which is, you know, I know this seems obvious to people who have been using Workflow 4 for a while, but a lot of people are new to it. In Workflow 3, you kind of had to make this big choice up front, sequence or state machine. And once you chose sequence, you can't use state machine, you know, inside the sequence and things like that. But in Workflow 4, it's all about composition. So I can start with a sequence, I can put a flowchart inside of it, I can put a sequence inside the flowchart, and if I use the new state machine CTP, I can put a state machine inside the flowchart, and,
exactly.
and things like that, right?
There's no limit in how you can compose, and actually even further,
yeah.
let's say that you create your own control flow activity, you can put inside of your sequence or your flowchart, everything can freely compose.
Yeah.
Like we've seen in the activities best practices episode, in the first one, that we have this picture that depicts composition.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that it's really at the core of the model.
Right, right.
The activities model.
So which is why we're not saying this has to replace one or the other. They can be used together.
Even you can have a workflow that has, and as we will see, has a flowchart and has sequences and some steps. Or even further, you can put a state machine or other flowcharts inside of a flowchart.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And one interesting fact about the flowchart is that it responds to a common customer ask that we had.
Yeah.
And customers were keep saying, you know, I think in my process, when I think about my process, I draw it in a whiteboard in a certain way.
Yeah.
Or in a piece of paper when I talk with my users. And then when I go to workflow, I have to translate it back to a sequence or to a state machine, to something different. So what they were asking is for a more literal translation. Maybe if they want to describe a process that they reason about with a user, how can I have a way of representing that more with more fidelity in a workflow than sequence and state machine provide? Actually, one nice phrase that summarizes that is, the way in which I think about my process is the way in which I write it down.
That's good, yeah.
And that's one of the things that we try to achieve with Flowchart. Provide you a very natural way for expressing processes following a well-known modeling paradigm that is boxes and arrows.
Good, okay.
And one interesting thing before we move on, when I say well-modeling, it's not only in engineering that is well-modeling, but you can see boxes and arrows all over the place in all kinds of disciplines, right? You
know, right.
Logistics, marketing, whatever, you name it, and they...
Everybody loves boxes and arrows.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that, right?
It's a very simple way of conveying, you know, set of steps and decisions.
Sure.
And that's what Flowchart does.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, when I said well-known modeling paradigm, because I make a strong assertion.
Yeah.
So, to prove that, what I did is I did a Bing search, Bing image search on Flowchart to see what comes out. Just to demonstrate that. And if you see all the things that you see here, you can represent with the flowchart that we ship in Workflow 4.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So, again, diving deeper into that well-known paradigm, we mm-hmm. have boxes and arrows.
Yeah.
Boxes represent activities okay. and are things that you, I mean, actions that happen in your workflow. And arrows are transition between those activities. Then, we, as I said before, we have a single path of execution, meaning that one activity can only have a next activity.
Okay.
So from one place, you cannot go to two places. You just go to a single next activity.
Now, you might have more than one arrow, but only one of them is going to be used.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right on. Yeah. And another interesting thing is the first class ability to loop back to a previous step.
Okay.
If you want to go back, you just write an arrow. It's just mm-hmm. a gesture. Very simple.
Okay.
And another interesting point is that we have a first class decision representation when you visualize the flowchart. So I say, as I said, we have boxes and arrows. Boxes represent steps in the process that are activities. Arrows are transitions. And the diamonds represent decisions. So when you see a flowchart, you can see very easily where are things happening and where are we taking the decisions that will govern the way in which we branch the execution in the flowchart.
Okay, so like in the sample, we see a lot of diamonds there, and right away you can visually know, oh, those are all decisions.
Exactly, and another interesting point about this picture is not written with, it's not authored with our flowchart, but it's a random picture that I got from the search results, and this could be perfectly modeled with the flowchart that we ship out of the box.
Good.
Without any addition. So, going a bit more in detail, flowchart, the idea of flowchart is to be very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Just do one thing and do it well. So, flowchart has the concept of flow nodes. It's an activity that has a set of nodes, right? And it's a composite activity, a control flow activity.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, it has a set of nodes, and nodes can be of three types. We can have a flow step that is a step in the process, sorry, represents a step, like an activity inside of the flowchart. We have a flow decision that is similar to an if activity. It has a Boolean decision and two arrows that go out of that activity, and it will follow one path or the other according with the result of that Boolean expressions that it have.
Mm-hmm.
And the flow switch, that is similar to a C-sharp switch.
Okay.
Where we have an expression and multiple outgoing arrows, and it will follow one of the arrows according with the result of the expression.
Ah, right, right. Okay.
So that is what you use to model your flowcharts.
Mm-hmm.
With just these three simple things, we just can model business processes in a very effective way.
Okay.
So, let's go to a demo.
Okay.
And what we'll see now is how to use flowchart to model a business process.
All right, cool.
So, let's say that, I'll describe in a second the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say that we are in the HR business.
Okay.
And most companies, they have like sort of the the notion of headcount in their departments.
Right.
That is the number of people that is allowed to work there or the budget of actual employees that they have for that.
Right. Uh-huh.
If you want to hire someone new in a given department or area,
yeah.
it's not that you can just go and put a resume on the web and get someone. You need first to get a headcount extension approval, right?
Right.
I want to hire someone new, so it will have to go through several approval steps.
Yeah.
And if you get approved, you will be able to start with that resume requisition and
okay.
you know, interview loops, etc. The process that you will see is the process for asking that headcount extension.
Okay.
And you know, at first I was thinking in bringing, like, doing some PowerPoint representation of the process or doing some sketch, but I found out that the flowchart itself is enough to describe the process.
Ah, good. Okay.
So what we will do is we will go through the process in the flowchart, and we will try to just read it through, what we see on the screen,
mm-hmm.
and then we will delve into the details.
Okay.
So our process starts with receiving a request.
Okay.
You know, someone says, okay, you know, I want a new engineer for my department.
Uh-huh.
Once we receive the request, the next things that will happen is that we will need the approval from the manager, from the direct manager.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what's happening here. And the manager needs to approve. And he might take three actions, three mm-hmm. decisions upon that request. He may decide to reject, like this is not going to happen, outright reject. So it goes to a rejected step. He may decide to, you know what, this makes sense, but I need some more data. So he may send it back to review to the requester. And once the requester provides that additional data, we might ask for manager approval again.
Okay.
Or the manager may decide, you know what, this looks good. Let's move it forward.
Ah.
Once the manager decides to approve, we will need to get the approval from the area manager. Let's say the department director or like the skid manager, whatever. So in this case, the set of decisions that he may make are more restricted. He may say yes or no.
Okay.
No reviews. I mean, just
yeah,
it's a real thing. So if he rejects, of course, we go to the rejected step where we may do some cleanup or some, you know, cleanup of the system.
Okay.
Remove the request from the system. We'll see the details. And if he accepts, we go to the we progress to the next step in the process. That is getting the HR manager approval.
Ah, right.
And in this case, this will be slightly more complex because what we want to do here is to have the approval of two HR managers at least.
Yeah.
Or the CEO.
Okay.
I mean, if one HR manager says yes, it's not enough, we need another one to give quorum. If the CEO says yes, he's the CEO.
He's the CEO. He's the boss. We can do it. Or she.
Or she, yeah.
Yeah.
He or she are the boss. So.
Okay.
And finally, based on the decision of the HR managers or the CEO, we just decide to finish, I mean, update the systems and start the requisition, the resume requisition process, or just go to the rejected step where we do all the cleanup that I mentioned.
Right, okay.
So as I can see, I have, with the flowchart, I could represent the process in a very natural way. This is how I would draw it with a business analyst or more business-oriented
people. Yeah, in fact, what I like about this is you could actually take this diagram. You can copy this as an image. You can drop it right in your PowerPoint. So you go. You can imagine you go to a meeting with the HR management, and they say, "Okay, tell us the system you're going to build." And you could just walk through this right here with them.
Yep.
And they would go, "Yeah, that's right. Oh no, wait, no, over here you got to change that step or whatever." They could engage in a conversation with you.
And as you see, all the concepts that we are describing here are very high level. So we are hiding all the complexities of the implementation. We'll drill down to that in a second. But as you can see, this is an appropriate level of detail to discuss about the process, but not about how we implement that process, right?
Yeah.
You can see very clearly what's going on, where we take the decision, where we make the decision, and how do they branch.
Yeah.
Actually,
and you can drill into each of those other steps if you want to.
Yeah, that's what we will do in next.
Okay.
And one thing that you mentioned that is great and that I want to show is that with a flowchart, you can copy as image. If you right-click in the canvas, you can copy it as image, and you can like paste it wherever you want, in a Word document, in a PowerPoint, wherever. It's just a feature that we have in the designer for any activity.
Right.
So again, as we were saying, we are seeing now the general process, but we are describing a lot of functionality that is not surfacing here, right? So let's see how that functionality is actually implemented.
Okay.
So first of all, if I double-click here, that says double-click to view, so let's follow that instruction.
All right.
What we have here is actually a sequence.
So
in this sequence, I'm putting like more, I'm going to the next level of detail.
Okay.
And in this case, to start the process, I will have a receive activity. The process will be started once I receive a start message. And I will save all the data that I get in that activity into the state of my workflow.
Right.
And I will do some cleanup stuff, like, for example, initialize the hiding request information that I'm using in my process. All these are custom activities, by the way. Getting data from the employee from the database, from the, like, say, ERP system.
Okay.
Or HR system. And save some tracking information to know, you know, to say, this process was started on this date by, for example, Ron.
Okay. There we go.
And as you can see, let's go to the next one to see also.
Okay.
To see how it goes. This is get manager approval.
All right.
So again, as you see, we can drill into that activity and go to the next level of detail. Mm-hmm. And here, maybe the conversation that we can have may not be with a business user, but more with a more technical person, more related with implementation.
Right.
So for example, in this case, the first thing that I do is add a message to the manager inbox.
Okay.
That's a component in this application.
Right.
It's an inbox that we have in this sample app where you can like put some data, some messages that someone has to pay attention for.
Right.
So we put something in the manager inbox, and when he opens the app, he will see, oh, there's something that requires my attention.
Yeah.
So we say, you know what, manager? I mean, we got the information of the manager because previously we got the employee data from the ERP.
Or you could send an email with a link to this. Right.
Exactly. And once we put something in the manager inbox or send the email, both of them, actually both things could happen even in parallel here. We could put a parallel activity and do both of them in parallel.
Right.
We will wait for the manager approval.
Right.
And once we get the manager approval, like this is a receive activity, so this will be waiting for a message to come to the workflow.
Right.
And actually, let me show you. We get an approval result that we store in a variable in the workflow.
Okay.
This is what we will use to govern, to decide which way to execute in the flow switch that we have below.
Right.
As we will see in a minute. So we will do some like same cleanup, the same data massaging that we did before, like get the employee data from the manager to make sure that he's a manager.
Right.
Set tracking information to know when the manager did approved.
Yeah.
And remove from the manager inbox.
Okay.
That variable that we saved with the decision that the manager made, is what we are using here in the switch. So based on that decision, we are switching. And we're going one way or the other.
Okay.
One interesting thing, let's go to this rejected. Mm-hmm. Because as you can see, it has a different icon here.
Yeah.
So when a request is rejected, what we want to do is to remove it from the system.
Right.
And there are several cleanup tasks that can be done in parallel.
Ah, okay.
That is actually what we are doing here.
Yeah.
We are putting a parallel inside of our flowchart. So we are saving some tracking info to know when it was rejected. We are archiving the inbox data.
Yeah.
And we are updating the request info all in parallel.
Now, just to be clear, because people might misunderstand this, this does not mean we're spinning up three threads and doing those concurrently that way. But it means that if these activities do asynchronous work, maybe if they're like an async code activity, for example, then which could be very reasonable to do with these, right?
Actually, all these are async code activities. So in this case, they will be offloaded off the main thread. They may spawn another thread if needed.
Okay.
So actually, this is done in a thread parallel fashion.
Yeah, because they're async code
activities.
Because
they're async code activities. If they were not async code activities, they will be like all scheduled together, and they will be executed in inverse order.
Right, right. So good, it would be a good idea, anytime you're doing something like this that involves I.O., to do async code activities and take advantage of that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Remember when we were discussing the activities best practices,
when
you want to do expensive I.O., it's always a good idea to offload that operation off the scheduler thread.
Yeah, okay.
Using an async code activity.
Good, good. All right.
Great point.
And by the way, this sample we're looking at, this is in the SDK,
Sure.
The workflow samples. We'll put a link for everybody. So.
Great. Yeah, this sample is available in the SDK. So if someone wants to go deeper into this or look more details, they can just do it at home.
Cool. Okay.
So at some point, we mentioned one step that was quite complex, that was get the two HR managers' approval, or the CEO.
Uh-huh.
That seems like a bit more complex than the other.
Yeah.
I mean, you may imagine that all the rest of the boxes, if we drill into them, they will be similar to the one that get manager approval, right?
Right.
Put in the inbox, wait for approval,
get
the data of the approver to check if he's the actual legitimate approver, save some tracking data, and update the request.
Right.
I mean, all of them do more or less the same, except for this one.
Okay.
This is more complex. So let's double-click it. And we drill in, and we see that we have a sequence here.
Uh-huh.
So the first thing that we will do in that sequence, we said that we want to get the approval of all the HR managers, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
So we will get all the HR managers.
Yeah.
And we will send a message to their inboxes.
Oh, okay.
Using a parallel for each. That is an activity that allows to go through a list and invoke a contain activity for each element in a list.
Right.
Actually, we do a twist here. And instead of using for each, we use parallel for each.
So
we add in parallel to the inboxes. I mean, if we have 10 managers, we invoke in parallel the add to inbox for all of them.
Right.
So we don't want to we don't need to wait one to finish to start the other.
Provided they're an async activity.
Add to inbox is it's a messaging activity.
Okay.
It's an async activity.
Yeah, okay. Activity. So, yeah, there you go.
And then once all of them have the message in their inbox, then we need to wait for the approvals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, I have another flowchart inside here.
Cool.
To govern that. So I have a flowchart that has a sequence, but inside the sequence, I have another flowchart.
Love it. All right.
And let me feed it to the screen so you can see it. Let me see if 80% is good. It's quite good, right?
Yeah.
You can see. So this is what we do here. We receive the approval from someone, right? Could be an HR manager or the CEO, any of them.
Yeah.
Then we remove the record in the inbox from the person who emitted the approval.
Mm-hmm.
We get the information of the approver.
Yeah.
We may need it. You'll see in a second why. We set some tracking info, like this person approved this request at this moment.
Right.
And then If it was rejected, I mean, if the decision that, I mean, if the decision that the person made was reject this request, well, you know what? We just reject.
Okay.
Now, if we got an approval message,
right?
We will say, is this approval message from the CEO? I mean, the position of the person who approved was the CEO?
Yeah.
Yes, well,
then it's
approved.
Good. Yeah.
If it's not, we keep a counter. Uh-huh. If it's an HR manager, we keep a counter of all the HR managers that approve.
Okay.
And if that counter is 2, we approve. If not, we will wait for another message to come. See that we are using this ability of looping back here again?
Yeah.
So I just draw a line. Let me make it smaller so you can actually see it. But I just draw a line to the receive activity, and I'm done. That's all what I need to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Finally, if we get approved, we go to the update, to the final step.
Yeah.
And we will see what's this. It looks like a parallel. We already seen it, but let me feed it to the screen. And in this parallel, there's another interesting thing.
Yeah.
We have a sequence in one of the branches.
Right.
Which also illustrates what you mentioned before. You can compose, whenever you can put an activity, you can decide to put a composite or a leaf activity.
Right.
And if it's a composite, you can still be composing without any restriction.
Yeah.
Unless you write the restriction on your own, right?
Mm-hmm.
Using constraints.
Right.
So here what we do is same thing that we did for when the request is rejected.
Yeah.
Like save some tracking information, archive inbox, update the hiring request, and also create a job posting in the jobs database and start another process.
Right. And in this case, you're saying we have to create the job posting before we start the other process. That's
right.
Why you do it as a sequence.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
These two things need to happen one before the other.
Right.
But all of those can happen at the same time. We don't have any like precedence order that we want to enforce.
Okay.
So, another interesting thing about the flowchart is that, as you can see, the way in which you can reason about the process is what you actually use to run that process. So it can also be a great way of documenting that process.
Yeah.
It's like an executable definition of a business process.
That's a great thing because, you know, anytime when I've worked on a project where we, you know, use some tool to create graphs or whatever, after a little while, we have all these charts up on the wall, and then after a little while, people say, oh, don't look at that. That's the old one. It doesn't work that way anymore, you know?
Yeah. So this is not the case, right? Because what I used to describe the process was the flowchart itself. And I can decide what level I want to see it, right? I can look at it at a very general level, like what's actually like big blocks of behavior.
Yeah.
Or I can drill into the details.
Right, right.
And even I have a further abstraction that I can do that is creating my own custom activities that I can use in my flowchart.
Yeah, so that's fantastic.
The range of possibilities is pretty wide. And another interesting thing about this, I said that this is a definition of the process that is executable.
Mm-hmm.
And in executable means that you can also debug it
and
step through it.
Yeah.
So as you can see, for example, here, I put a breakpoint.
Yeah.
Like F9, like I would do with any Visual Studio program.
Yeah.
And if I run this.
Okay.
When I start the process, you'll see that I can stop here.
Cool. All
right. So let's do it. And this solution is quite complex.
Mm-hmm.
It models the process of asking the headcount extension and then the resume requisition.
Okay.
So once the headcount extension is approved, it will post the job posting to a website and it will start a process for getting the resumes.
And you have a lot of things running here. So there's services and websites and stuff. Okay.
It's like 6 services and 2 or 3 websites. So a lot of moving parts here.
Yeah.
So we will only see we are debugging the first piece of the headcount extension request. So this application, this web app, emulates a client with multiple, where you can log as multiple employees in this fictional company in Contoso. So I will log as, let's say this one, software engineer in test. And what I'll do is I will request a new position.
Okay.
So now, when I request a new position, this should start a new instance of the headcount extension process.
Okay.
So let's do, we need a software engineer. We want a software engineer with experience in WCF and WF.
Okay. There we go. Good.
4.
All right, yes.
And we hit create.
Okay.
So now, We send the message.
Yeah.
And in some seconds, we should hit this breakpoint.
Oh, that was amazing. The timing just landed just when you said that.
Couldn't be better, right?
That was cool.
Even if we would have prepared it, it would.
Yeah.
So as you can see, I'm here stopping that part of the process.
Right.
And I can do two things. I can like step over, like I can go to the next sequence here in the process, or I can step into.
Right.
So I'll hit F11.
Okay.
As you can see, I can go into the sequence.
Ah, beautiful.
I have my receive activity. And I can inspect also some state of, I can inspect the state of the variables, the arguments, and everything.
Right,
like
right.
Like with the regular state
just
inspection.
That's what you would expect, right?
Whatever you would do, the same things that you do when you use BS to debug your CLR programs.
Right, right.
So I can step through with F10. Or even hit F5.
Yeah.
And just keep going.
Yeah, keep going. There you go.
So that's very interesting. So you can describe the process, and you also can use that description to execute it, and you can also debug it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's a flowchart.
That's a flowchart. So there are some final words that I would like to make some summary of the flowchart.
Right.
That would be like a good wrap-up for this. And is that the flowchart allows describing processes as you would describe them in a whiteboard.
Yeah.
And one interesting thing of this, that the description equals the implementation.
Yeah.
The way in which you're describing is the actually what you're running.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get this that you mentioned before, the documentation mismatch.
Yeah.
Where you know your process is out of sync with what you're actually running.
Yeah.
Both things are the same artifact, so you don't need to keep two things separate.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it can convey process semantics at different level audiences.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen how we can have a description that would be very suitable for discussing and reasoning about the process with a business user, where we can sort of evolve it or change it or even like discuss about it.
Right.
And also we can go to another levels of detail where we would talk with a developer or someone that is more related with the implementation of the service.
Right.
And we put messaging activities and tracking and stuff, but that's something that is not surfaced to the other audience. So we can isolate both audience pretty well.
Yeah.
And another very important thing is that flowchart is just one part of the activities ecosystem, meaning that it's not a replacement for any other of the activities that we have.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one activity that you can use when it makes sense. But it's not that we put flowchart and we put it because we think that it's better than state machine or better than sequence.
Right.
Each one of those activities have their scenarios, and you can use them in conjunction, as we've seen.
Yeah.
Like we have this flowchart with sequences in each step or parallels or whatever. And even inside of the sequence, at some point, we use a flowchart. So they're a part of an ecosystem, and they should play well all together.
Cool. Well, Leon, thanks so much for bringing this to our attention. And flowcharts are fun. They're awesome. And, you know, go out, use a flowchart, build one today, you know, and have some fun with it. We'll see you next time on Endpoint TV.